for the believer, prayer is a critical principle vital to the Christian walk. Prayer wasn't created by man to communicate with God. God created prayer to communicate with him. So prayer is so much more than just voicing our request to God as though he was waiting in heaven to take our orders. He's not a vending machine where we drop four quarters in it and push the button to get an immediate response. When we think of people that are coming up for prayer, believing in the power of God, that's when obedience starts. That's when we make a decision to connect to the kingdom of God through prayer. And we make a decision to believe. We have that ability not only in the church to believe, but wherever you are. See, many times people can say, you know what, I'm going to have Pastor Brett pray for me. You don't have to wait to come to church for God to hear you. You need to pray where you are, because that's where God will hear you, is where you're at. Amen? But do not put God in a box. The only way that I can get prayer is if I go to church. No, Jesus already paid the price, tore the veil in two, that you and I would have direct access into the throne room of God. So today, as we heard the testimonies, those testimonies gave others hope in Christ. When people come up for prayer, they're standing in agreement in faith for breakthroughs or breakthroughs for somebody else. There are people in this room that have sons and daughters that we're praying for, that there would be a breakthrough in the name of Jesus, that they would come to their senses or come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. You're interceding. You're standing in the gap for a purpose. Your prayers are vitally important for the souls of your loved ones. And you know that loved one may be the person you hate at work, because it says in the Word of God to love your enemies. Remember, prayer gives us access into the throne room of God, and we are not to take prayer lightly, but wholly. Have you ever thought of that? Have we ever thought that when we pray, that it is really holy? And many times we can take prayer pretty lightly. That we actually come to the Lord and we do a curtsy and we think that we put the quarters in, push the button, and we want an immediate response. And yet God has seen our heart. He's wanting us to be holy men and women of God, vessels of honor, not vessels of dishonor. And I think there's times that we dishonor God's position as the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Creator of the universe. And I'm wanting us to think differently in this. When we pray, do not take your prayers lightly, but they are holy. They're words that are holy before the Lord. Remember in Matthew 6:5, I said this last Sunday, when Jesus said to them, he says, when you pray, you should not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Surely, I say to you, they have their reward. Don't do that. Do not do that, to be seen by men, to look a certain way that you've got it together. He wants authentic you. Amen. He says, surely, he's saying this. He says, surely, I say to you, they have the reward. So when Jesus was talking about the Pharisees praying and wanting to be seen by men, this does not impress God or Jesus. When it's done in that manner, it does not impress God or Jesus. Our prayers are answered when we pray with honest and sincere communication, not just from the head through the intellect, but also from the heart and spirit in line with God's word. I've talked to people about the prosperity thing of, if I just pray this way, rub the lamp, I'll get God to do this. Well, that's through intellect, through your head, not through your heart and spirit. I've actually heard people say, you know, if this person would just receive from God, that could be my husband or that could be my wife. No, it's not. But yet they believe they're lining up their heart and spirit for a particular person that's totally contrary to the Word of God. And yet we want to manipulate God through our prayers, through our intellect, rather than through the heart and the spirit in line with God's Word. Amen. Billy Graham once said, "Heaven is full of answers to prayer for which no one ever bothered to ask." So I'm going to ask you this question. What is it that God's putting on your heart right now that you never bothered to ask God in heaven about? That God's saying you should spend time in prayer over this issue. Maybe it is about a person. Maybe it is about finances. Maybe it is about a habit. Maybe it is about a deliverance that you need in your life. But God's saying, you're not talking to me. You're not praying to me. And to think heaven is full of answers to prayer for which no one ever bothered to ask. I'm one of those that said, you know what? I never bothered to ask God. How about the idea of asking God's opinion? We're so into ourselves so much, we're consumed with our own opinions that we don't even ask God his opinion. If we would just be still and shut up, we would probably hear from the Lord the answer. God is moved by our prayer of faith, not by the prayer of feelings. Let's look at Romans 1. Paul wrote, we see in Romans 1:16, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." Now I want you to listen to this. "For it is in the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith." See, the just shall live by faith. It isn't the just shall live by feelings. So what is the word just? The just means the righteous. You're the righteousness of God. The righteous shall live by faith. It doesn't say the righteous shall live by feelings. And yet, every day we deal with our five senses and we're stirred with our five senses rather than being stirred by faith. So what is faith? As we look in Hebrews 11:1, it says, Hebrews 11:1, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." And yet we have to deal with our eyes every day, with our eyes, our ears, our taste, that we deal with in the natural sense. But God's saying, look, I need you as a child of God. I want you to start believing in faith to not be ruled by your senses, even though you do have the flesh. I want you to start believing and trusting in me in faith. And sometimes that can be very hard because the things that we see can really mess with our heads, or mess with our intellect, and mess with our thinking. And God's saying, look, this is what faith is. Now faith is. Faith is right now. Faith is present. It's not going to be the next day or the next day. Faith is now. And you can't exercise your faith from yesterday. So faith is now. Faith is now the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So let's use this as an example. Let's say, you know, some of you have been praying for a kid that's in your family, a child, a son, a daughter, that you've been praying. Keep praying in faith. Maybe by the eye, it doesn't look and appear the way you want it to appear. But the faith is that you're stirred by God in your heart and in your spirit to believe in faith for a transformation in someone or some person that you're praying for, that God would connect his power into that person's life. See, in the natural, you say, how is this possible? In the Word of God, it says all things are possible with God. All right. In Hebrews 11:6, it says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." So then I have to ask this question. Because of prayer, are we diligently seekers of him? Because we can be diligently seekers of anything. We can be diligent seekers of things that God's saying, "I don't want you to even be a diligent seeker of." Right? Okay. "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is what? He's anything that you need. That he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." So here we are. We're doing a series on the power of prayer. We talked about this month of being about prayer, and that you and I are believing in the power of God, and we're seeking God on purpose, intentionally, for a reason. But what we're doing is we're being transformed. God is molding and shaping us, spirit, soul, and body, because we're diligently seeking him. I mean, I've actually had people, I've really been focusing on the Lord. I've been reading that book. I've been seeking God. God's really been ministering to me, speaking to me. Wait, he's not going to speak to you to speak to somebody else. He's going to mess with your heart and with your head, because he wants to see us transformed more into his nature, into more of his character. All right? So even Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 5:7, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." Isn't that amazing when you think of how important prayer is and how important faith is, and yet Paul still writes, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." When you and I pray, we need to believe we are a child of God. He paid the price so that we'd be joint heirs in Christ, right? We're joint heirs in Christ. So when you and I pray, we need to believe we are a child of God. And that accessing the throne room of God is not a problem. Well, I don't want to bug God. He's so busy. No, this is not a problem because he loves you. This is not to be a problem in any way, shape, and form, because we are children of God, and accessing the throne room of God is not a problem. Why is that? Because God really cares for you, and God really loves you. The big part of answered prayer is just believing that truth. Did you know that? Many times people don't even want to go and seek God because they don't even believe God loves them or even cares for them. Why bother? He doesn't care. And yet God is saying, "I want you to access my throne room. I want you to come to me as a child that I've called you, and I want you to access me, because it's not a problem, because I care for you and I love you." Amen? Just think, if we grasp that thought, would our prayer life increase? Would it be just that much better? Would it be that much bigger? I mean, I would have to say yes. Because God loves you and he cares for you. So 1 Peter 5:6-9 talks about this. "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you." Now, here's the question. Are we willing to be diligent and obedient to cast our care upon him? I would have to say there's many times that we want to do it ourselves. "I'm a man's man. I'll do it myself, God. I got this." When he's saying, "No, you don't. I need you to cast your care upon me." Why is that? It says right there, "Cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you." Now listen, "Be sober, be vigilant." Peter keeps talking here. "Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion." Notice that Peter says your adversary. He is your enemy. He doesn't like you because you're a believer, that you're trusting in Christ, that you're exercising your faith. The devil does not like you. But look what it says here. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He wants to devour somebody in this room. All right? But look what it says in verse 9. Resist him. Resist. That is probably one of the biggest things that we need to do as believers is resist him. Notice what it says after that. Steadfast in faith. Resist him steadfast in faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. You know what? You're not the only one going through your stuff. We're all going through stuff. But we need to recognize who the enemy is. We need to resist the enemy. And the other part, steadfast in faith. So I have to ask this question, where are you and where am I in faith? Are we being steadfast in faith? I like what Peter was saying here. I think he had some inside track on this, don't you? I think the time that he was with Jesus, he came to know, you know what? Jesus really does care. And yet he's trying to translate something for you and I, that we become men and women of God that understand we serve a loving God. We know there's an enemy, but we need to resist the enemy, be steadfast in faith in Christ. And you know what? We're going to go through stuff that we just don't enjoy, but we got to understand that we need to press on in the things of God. Amen. We're to cast our cares upon the Lord. How do we do that? By prayer. There's power in prayer. There's power in prayer. In James 1, 5 and 8, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. I need help every day. We all face stuff in life, but isn't that amazing? I mean, Jesus, you know, is speaking to James here through the Spirit. Says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Man, there's times that we do stupid. I do stupid at times. And I need wisdom. I don't need man's wisdom. I need God wisdom. In verse 6, but let him ask in faith without doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So the problem we see, the problem with man is doubt. See, he stirs us to be men and women of faith, but it's kind of interesting when the word says here, but let him ask in faith with no doubting. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. When Jesus was talking to the disciples, there's some important words that Jesus gave the disciples. Jesus didn't teach his disciples how to preach, he taught them how to pray. Right? Again, Jesus didn't teach his disciples how to preach. He taught them how to pray. So let's look at Mark 11, 22. So prior to this, Jesus cursed the fig tree. Disciples saw him. Curse the fig tree. It's withered up. Leaves are withered up. But I want us to see something here in Mark 11, 22 through 24. It says, so Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. That message is still the same to you and I. Have faith in God. For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart. There's that word doubt again. First it starts, have faith in God. Then it says, about do not doubt in his heart. You know, that can be really tough at times. To have faith and not have to get in that place of doubting. Again, it says, well, surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray. Did you see that? When you pray. Whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Well, Pastor, I believe in this part, but I don't believe in that part. That's where faith and doubt come in, that we all face, that all of us struggle with. All those things of I'm a man or woman of faith versus I'm a man and woman of doubt. And yet we all face those things. We're to be men and women of God, that we trust in the Lord. We read our Bibles and we believe that the Word of God is alive, living, and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. But yet the message is still the same. Jesus spoke these things, and yet do we believe it? Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. And you and I have to put our faith to work by believing and speaking God's word if you want to see change. That's prayer. Prayer. Speaking, believing. Speaking, believing is prayer. Because we read that in Hebrews 11:1. We also read in Hebrews 11:6. Now, I've got an interesting thing here. What does this say? This is not a trick question. What does it say on the front of this? Holy Bible. There's 66 books that are in this Bible, and it is holy, right? So it's amazing when you think of the Holy Bible. And many times we can say, hey, do you have your Bibles this morning? Hey, do you have your Bible? It is the Holy Bible. And yet today, the world is saying it's just a good book. The world is saying it's a good book, but it's much more than just a good book. When God created the heavens and the earth, he spoke it into existence. When he created Adam and Eve, we formed Adam out of the dust of the ground. He breathed into his nostrils. God breathed into Adam. Breathed in his nostril life. And we think of the Word of God, the Holy Bible. It says the Holy Bible, right? And many times people say it's a good book. It's more than a good book. It's God breathed. And what happened was God took men and breathed into the Word of God. Breathed into man's life, and man wrote life. And if you're to look at 2 Timothy 3:16, 17, it says all Scripture is God inspired, but it means God breathed. If you're to look at the Greek, it says God breathed. He breathed life into men, and men wrote this down that you and I could open this Holy Bible to understand God's will, because it is God breathed. So then the Word of God is living, powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. And you said, I need Jesus in my life. You are dead to sin. Your foot, your life was in the grave. And God said, I want to breathe on you. I want to breathe on you from my word, which is living and powerful. And I want to breathe on you with my spirit. And so, which it says in Hebrews 4:12, that the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. And so what happens as you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you become a new creation in Christ Jesus because of his word and his spirit. And what happens is as you study the word, God breathes into your life. Did you understand what I'm saying here? So when God breathes into your life, okay, how many here want to go back to the bars? Go to the things that are addicting to you in your past. Just raise your hand if that, no. God breathed into your spirit. God breathed the living word into your life. Why? Not so you can just consume it for yourselves. No, it's that you use the word of God to touch somebody else's life. So God can breathe into their life. So when you got saved, it was one of the greatest days of your life, right? And you go tell somebody about it that transformed your life, so then God can breathe into their life so they can breathe. Come on. Come on. The living word to somebody else. See, and we think prayer doesn't mean anything. Yes, it does. It says that he is forever interceding for us. He's at the right hand of God, forever interceding for us. And see, the word of God isn't done. The Holy Spirit is not done. But what is happening because of what the word of God, that all scripture is God inspired, God breathed, if we would read that scripture, it would say, God really does care. He really does love me. Because he's imparting the kingdom of God. Yeah. And the world is saying, you know what? I don't want them knowing what the kingdom of God is. He wants people held in bondage. He doesn't want the living word to come alive. He doesn't want the spirit of God. What did Jesus say to Nicodemus? He says, you don't know where the wind comes from. He was talking about the Holy Spirit. He says, man, wasn't God here today? Why? Because of the wind. Oh, come on. It's one of those things that he's stirring. The presence of God. As we look at 1 Peter 2:24, Peter's talking about in the scriptures, by his stripes we are healed, right? Okay? So he's saying this scripture is alive, by his stripes we're healed. But you know that was prophesied in Isaiah 53:5? That was actually, it says, he was wounded for our transgressions. You know, and by his stripes we are healed. But then if you look at Isaiah 55, it talks about, in verse 11, it says, I watch over my word to perform it in how I sent it. So we look at how God is using the word of God, which is alive and power. It's transforming who we are. Yet Peter had this revelation, understanding by his stripes we are healed. But that was prophesied in Isaiah 53:5. And yet when we look at Isaiah 55:11, God says, I'll send my word and I'll prosper in which I send it. So that means it doesn't end. All right? So when we pray for people to get healed, when we pray for people's addictions to be broken, what we're doing is, not only did he bring the word of God here, inspired by God, 66 books of the Bible that we read, and what we're doing is since we're a child of God, what we're doing is we're lining up our spirit on words, his words, that are going back to him. He said, by his stripes, we are healed. What we're doing is when we pray, we're saying, Father God, I thank you for what Jesus Christ did on the cross. I believe by faith that I am healed. What we're doing is he breathes on us and we're breathing back to him because he's watching over his word to perform it. See, we're not kids of darkness. We're kids of light. So when his word is light, he's breathing light into us, not darkness. If we could just capture that, why is prayer so important? Because we're speaking light back to God that he spoke in the very time of creation. Faith in action is an active prayer life. Prayer is believing beyond what we see in the natural and believing the divine power of God that is at work in the supernatural. God wants you and I to seek his presence. Answered prayer comes through his presence. Amen? When I've dealt with things in life, and I will again, I'm going to seek the word. I'm going to seek God. But he always wants us to line it up to his presence, to his word, to his spirit. Amen? Holy Bible. Amen? Holy Bible. All right, I'm going to close with this. Let's look at Jeremiah 33:3. Do you have the same inspired, God-breathed word that I have? No, are you sure? Maybe, let's all check, okay? Jeremiah 33:3. It says this, call on me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Is that in your Bible? In your Bible? Man, there's power in prayer. See, he's watching over his word to perform it, but if we're not asking, why would we think he would perform it? Right? Amen. Call to me and I will answer you. And I'll show you great and mighty things which you do not know. Praise the Lord. Amen.